Take your Bible, turn to the book of John chapter 4, if you would, please. John chapter 4. It's good to see you here tonight. Good to have folks online. Had an interesting deal today. A guy called, and come to find out, he's actually, I guess, a friend of a family that's been following us for years. And this guy apparently doesn't believe the Bible. So this follower of our church was telling him that God created Adam and Eve. We didn't evolve from monkeys. God created Adam and Eve, and they were the first humans on the planet, and they started the population of the earth. So he called here, and I'm kind of confused about how it all turned out, and asked, I think, whoever answered the phone that question, and then the line cut off. And from what I heard, that the line just cut off. They thought maybe he hung up or we hung up or something like that. But then he specifically called back and specifically asked for me, and I got on the phone, and I said, "This is Pastor Mike. How can I help you?" "Yeah. Can you tell me if you believe that Adam and Eve were the first two people and that they replenish the earth?" I said, "Yeah, that's what the Bible says." "Okay, nice talking to you." Click. That's all he wanted. And I said, "That's what the Bible says." Now, he didn't ask me if I believed what the Bible said, but I would have said, "Yes, that's what it says." So the second call I got after that was from the man that knows him, and he explained the situation to me. So just pray for the guy. He doesn't believe the Bible. He thinks the Bible was written by men. And I said, it was. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So you pray for this. God knows who he is. Amen. John chapter 4. I have verse 15 up on the screen, but let's read our way down to and get the gist of the story. We talked on this last Wednesday evening about the issue, the racial issue, the aspect of it, of why Jesus was getting... was asking here, Jesus, a Judah Jew, asking this half-breed Jewish Samaritan woman for a drink of water, and that startled her. What are you doing as a Jew asking me for water? You guys don't have anything to do with us. They actually called them the dogs. But anyway, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. They were going into the market to buy some food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And again, last Wednesday night, we dealt with this race issue, that Jesus died for every race, every country, every nation, every color, every type of person. Jesus died and loved and created every one of them. He loves them all the same. He doesn't love one more than he loves the other. So get off your racial high horse. Amen. And that's what he said. Then the woman saith unto him, "Sir," verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" And underline that phrase in your Bible, living water. "Art thou greater," listen what she's saying, "art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle. They knew the story of Jacob. They knew the book of Genesis. That was their lineage. That was their heritage, their bloodline. And this woman was versed. Now listen to this now. She was versed in the scriptures. She knew what this well was to her people. Now, we're going to get into here in a minute the type of woman that she is. She knows the Bible. And so therefore she knows in her heart that how she's living is not right. So she says, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," meaning the well, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go and call thy husband and come hither." Now, did Jesus know this woman? Yes. How did he know her? He's God. He knows everybody. "Go and call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands." Can you imagine just the look on her eyes right at this point? How do you know this? The astonishment. "I have no husband." Jesus said, "And thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. For he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. In that saidst thou truly." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is, this Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Let's go to prayer. Father, we ask your blessings on your word tonight. We thank you, Lord, for those that you've assembled here. We pray, dear God, blessings on those who need it tonight in various ways. And Father, we are glad to be able to come into your house tonight to worship you and to serve you. Lord, teach us what it is to worship. Teach us, Father, about this living water and what Jesus is referring to. And Father, just enlighten our minds and our hearts and show us your ways tonight, we pray, from your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let's see here. Let me go back here to where I'm actually supposed to be in my notes. Jesus was referring to this living water that he talks about, and he would have given the living water. The woman saith unto him, back in verse 11, "Thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." She doesn't understand what he's referring to when he talks about the living water. If you just stop and just think about how important water is, they tell us that they're looking on the planet Mars, number one, for a source of water. Because if they can find a water source on Mars, then it's possible then that they can find some sort of life on Mars. They've sent different research satellites to the moon, and they believe that they have found ice on the moon, frozen water. I don't believe they'll find life on there or on Mars. But the idea that water is an absolute necessity for any kind of life whatsoever. It is necessary for our daily life. You can go about 40 days without eating. Jesus did it. There have been others who have gone either on hunger strikes or in famines for about 40 days, the human body can survive without any food. But you cannot survive past about 3 days without water. After about 3 days, you're just gonna kick in, and that's going to be the end of it. We need water. The type of water that Jesus is referring to is not the water at the well in which he's sitting. Not this woman. Now she loves her heritage. She knows that that well belongs to Jacob. Was given to him by his, or belongs to Joseph, was given to him by his father Jacob. She honors that. She's going to that well. She knows her background. She knows a little bit of her Bible. She knows her heritage. She knows that this well has historic merit. She's going there to get her water for the day, probably to take it back. She's probably got some big pot. She's going to carry some, probably about 5 gallons of water back to her home. Do all their business with it and everything they do with it. They're cooking, they're cleaning, they're drinking, and so on. She does not understand this issue of the living water. Jesus said it in verse 14, "Whosoever drinketh of that water that I shall give him shall never thirst." And we're going to get into this issue of what this water is. But for me, I've found that water. I've found that water. Now, it does not mean that all you have to do is read the Bible once or part of the Bible once and you'll never need to read anything else ever again and never need to read the Bible else the rest of your life. It does not mean that. What he means by that is once you have truly chosen Christ as your Redeemer and chosen this religion, this way of life that God has given us, once you have chosen this and you believe it with all your heart, you're not going to be looking for other religions to join. I have a letter on my desk upstairs, and I'm probably going to read it tomorrow. Pastor Mike online. It was sent to me by Sister Connie Burks. She asked me, have you heard of this particular organization, The Way Home or something like that? And I said, no, what is it? She said, it's a former Protestant minister who has left whatever church he belonged to and become a Roman Catholic. And he now has an organization that is proselytizing pastors out of Protestant denominations, past, not just church members, but pastors, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, whatever, proselytizing these people to leave whatever Protestant church they're ministering at and come what they call back home to Rome. And this letter that he's got is basically a fundraising letter. It's about 4 pages front and back. And it's got all kinds of stuff. We need your funds. We need your help. We need your money, this and that and the other. And it's basically just a plea for money. We can't do this without your money. And boy, it's so important because we're going to bring people back out of these false, phony religions that they're in. And we're going to bring them back to Rome. Joe Huddleston's back there shaking his head going, Joe's not thirsty. He's drank from the water of the well of salvation. He used to be a Roman Catholic. He's not going back to the Catholic Church ever again. He's not turning around to go back. He's not Lot's wife who's turned back looking at Sodom. He's not that. He's not going to go back and join that which he has come out of. Why would you? What that means is, Peter addressed it this way. He said, what that is you're a proverb now. The dog returning to his own vomit. God has designed dogs to eat things that are not designed to eat. And dogs will eat them. And that's the instruction that God is giving us in our mind, is that when we turn from what we have found in Christ and what we've found in this Bible, when we turn back from that and go back into the slop that we were used to be in or go to some other religion, let me tell you something. You didn't have it to begin with. You didn't have it to begin with. If you did not find the satisfaction that you needed in your mind and in your life when you found Christ, you did not find the real Christ, my opinion. That's what it means. And I'm going to read through that. I'm going to read that letter tomorrow. I'm going to start the program out tomorrow if God will let me. But there's a phrase in there talking about these foolish people who believe that Christianity is based solely on the Bible. That would be me. That's the living water. Yeah. Duh. Listen, they burned our forefathers at the stake who believed in sola scriptura, which means only the scriptures. They burned our forefathers at the stake for that reason alone. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Underline these phrases, well of water, living water. And then what are you going to do? Study those phrases. Because they're in more than one place in your Bible. In Psalm chapter 1, I like this. Psalm 1 is my favorite psalm in the whole Bible. He shall be like a tree. Let's start it out at the beginning. Let's see if I can do it from memory. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's found it. He's found it. He is delighted in reading the Bible and studying and meditating and thinking on the Bible. He's delighted in that. It gives him goosebumps. Doodads, what they call, whatever, climbs up and give you the cold chills. When you read something out of the Bible and the Holy Ghost speaks to you and you just, woo-hoo! However you react to it, you found it, amen. Why would you go back, why would you go to a stupid idol-worshipping religion that's got nothing, never again, never again. But anyway, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That tree doesn't need to move anywhere. That tree doesn't need to pull up roots and go find some other river. He's found the river. He's planted by it. He's got roots in it. And God blesses that tree in his season. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1. Here's how God describes the blessing of water. And I was going to put a thing up on the screen. Forgot all about it. What is water composed of? H2O. What does that mean? Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. No mistakes in the Bible. Hydrogen, let's see who are scientists, who are smart people. Where is hydrogen on the atomic scale? On the periodic table of elements, where is hydrogen? JR, I see you have your hand raised. Is that it? It's one. See, we're talking about the Godhead, aren't we? You know what Jesus said? I and the Father are. Eight is the number for new life, new beginnings. Guess where oxygen is on the periodic table? Eight. Two parts hydrogen, that's the Father and the Son. One part oxygen, that's the breath, the Spirit. You separate them, they're both flammable. Hydrogen and oxygen are extremely flammable things. Apollo 1 blew up in a test. They put the three Apollo astronauts in the capsule for a test and shut the door, and they were feeding pure oxygen into the cabin of Apollo 1, and a spark went off and lit that inside of that capsule on fire, and those guys burn up on the launch pad, never left the ground. Sad, sad thing. But that whole thing about water shows you the Godhead. The Godhead is necessary for life. Amen. In Jesus dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I was going to make that a real nice, pretty slide. Just imagine it in your mind. But Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Listen to what he's saying. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. Have we had enough rain so far this spring? We've had our fair share. Welcome to Missouri, springtime in Missouri. This is when we're going to get flooded out. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, or herb, depends on what part of the country you're from, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. You see, that living water he's talking about is not just a religious fantasy or a religious mythology. It is absolutely necessary to our spiritual life and our life itself as water is to our bodies and to every living thing on this planet. It is absolutely necessary. You cannot separate the true Christian from God's doctrine, from his word, because that person will dry up. There will be nothing left of that person. See, it's my job to always encourage you in the word. Get in the word. Read some more of the word. Meditate on the word. Think on the word. Pray over the word. Pray through while you're reading it. Pray. Ask God for help. Ask God to give you light. Be like that guy on the phone. He calls me today. Do you believe Adam and Eve? Yes, that's what the Bible says. That's the answer that I give it. Well, that's what the Bible says, so that's what I believe. And if he doesn't believe that, I'm sorry. And I told his friend, next time he says the Bible was written by men, just quote 2 Peter, holy men of God spake because they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I said, if he will not believe what God said, a direct quotation from the Bible, if he will not believe what God said, there's not anything you can say that will change his mind. You're not smart enough, neither am I. His doctrine distills as the rain. So that living water he's talking about is his word. Genesis chapter 21, turn there in your Bible. Remember that phrase, well of water. Well of water. I have this running theory that God's going to save some people in the last days. Some people that others think that can't be saved. If you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, Hagar and Ishmael. Remember, it was Sarah's idea to say to Abraham, maybe, or while he was Abram, maybe God meant that through my handmaiden, you will raise up seed because I'm too old to produce a child. So she gave Hagar, her servant, an Egyptian woman, to Abram. He conceived in her, and Ishmael was technically the firstborn son of Abram, but he was the son of a slave, therefore he's born of bondage. And so God has many, multiple meanings to just about every story in the Bible. This one in particular, we know that, who knows how many sons Ishmael had? Does anybody know the number of sons Ishmael had? 12. Okay, what does that tell you? That tells you something, that God has a blessing, a promise for the seed of Abraham through Ishmael. Now, this I may be totally wrong on this. When we look at this story through Paul's eyes in Galatians chapter 4, he takes Hagar and Ishmael and he says they represent the Jews who are born at Mount Sinai. They're in bondage. But ask the question, are the Jews who were born at Mount Sinai, are they going to be saved in the last days? Yes. Yes, 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 1,000 yeses. They're going to be saved in the last days, a remnant of them. That's why there's 12 tribes. God's giving them a promise of a future blessing, which is Jerusalem above, has 12 gates on it, 12 stones, all that stuff. That's what that number 12 means, okay? So now watch this. Think of Hagar and Ishmael, because Ishmael and Hagar mocked Sarah, and Sarah said, I cannot have this woman anymore. You're going to have to get rid of her. And Abraham went to God and said, God, what do you want me to do about her? God said, listen to your wife, do what she said, put her out. I have a plan. Now you think God's mean and cruel, but he's not. Now you watch this story with that phrase, well of water, in mind. Watch this story. Genesis 21, verse 14. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar. How nice of him. Loaf of bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and on her shoulder. No camel, no donkey, no horse. Take off. And sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Verse 15, the water was spent in the bottle. And let me tell you something. You will not come looking for Christ until the water you've been drinking out of is spent. Somebody say amen. You will not come looking for the real Jesus. That's why that letter that I got is a big pile of manure. Because it's drawing people back to wells without water. Wells without water. The water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. They must have been wandering now for we don't know how many days. But now they've gone several days without water. And she sets her child down under a tree and walks so far enough away to where she cannot hear his screams of death as he is dying from water starvation. Listen, God may have put you in the same situation in order to save you. He had to make it that bad to get you to wake up. She sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. Verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make of him a what? Do you know that's the exact same words he said to Abraham? A great nation. I'm telling you, the exact words. Now, I had this little thought up here. It's not just based on this story. Isaiah 19. Egypt is going to get saved. You read Isaiah 19. Egypt, God's going to save them. And he's going to build a highway, he said, between Egypt, running through Jerusalem, going up into Assyria. And they're all going to call on the name of the Lord one of these days. I'm telling you, this wouldn't it be something for all the Ishmaelites in the world right now to forsake Allah and turn to Jesus? I love it. Okay? Now watch this. Verse 19. And God did what? Opened her eyes, and she saw what? Well of water. Same words Jesus said. Look at what Jesus said back in John chapter 4. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Same thing. God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. Now, why didn't she see that before? God will keep us blinded until he's ready to save us. He will keep us blinded. There's things that we will not see until God says, let there be light. I can tell you story after story after story after story just of me. Let there be light on this. Now let there be light on that. And when God opens your eyes to something, they're open, bud. And she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad. Look at your Bible. God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. Man, I'm telling you something. You study it out. Go look. He had 12. They called them dukes. The dukes of Ishmael, I believe, 12 of them. I believe God has a promise, a big surprise planned out in these last days. Okay? Now I'm going to move off from that. And it, even if we just stick this now with, leave it with Israel, the way Paul had it in Galatians chapter 4, that Hagar and Ishmael represented the Jews who are blinded right now, and they, and by the way, the Jews hate us, Bible believers, and so do the Muslims, they hate us, Bible believers. Okay? But isn't it strange that the Catholic Church officially does not have a problem with Islam? Officially does not have an issue with Islam. They do not have a problem with Islam. Because they say that they worship the same God, they serve the same creator as we do, we have the same God as they do. Wow. Psalm 65, verse 9, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. The river of God is this Bible right here. Going down to the river, we don't understand that. I had an experience one year when I was about 13 years old. I had a buddy whose grandparents were sort of like mine. They lived down in Arkansas. They had a farm in Clinton, Arkansas. And, I mean, they were in the country. And they had a well in their farmhouse. And me and my buddy stayed at his grandma and grandpa's house. But they didn't have enough running water for us boys to take a shower. We had to run down to the creek, the river. It didn't bother me. I'm 13 years old. I'm having fun taking a bath in the river. You know, it's not bothering me at all. Okay? But enriches it with the water of God. This Bible is the water. It's the river of God. Now, look in Ezekiel. Look in Ezekiel 32. Watch what happens. I had a guy come down all the way down from Canada. And I'll never forget this. He had been watching us online and was blessed by it. And he came, and it wasn't homecoming or nothing, but he came down from Canada to visit. And he said, you know, Pastor, he said, can I talk to you this afternoon? It's Sunday afternoon. I said, yeah. And I could tell he was very nervous. And he said, I've got something I want to share with you, but it's, you know, I need to kind of work my way into it. And I said, don't be nervous now. Don't be afraid. He was afraid that he was going to say something that I was going to, I guess, disagree with, and I was going to stand up and pop him or something. I don't know. But he was nervous. And I said to him, just tell me what it is. And he said, I think in the Bible, rivers are a picture of the Word of God. And I went, I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I had just studied that. And he said, watch what happens sometimes, because the devil will muddy the waters. You look at Ezekiel 32, verse 2. So did man take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, thou art like a young lion of the nations. Thou art as a whale in the seas. Thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest their rivers. I'm telling you, the devil loves to distort and muddy and disrupt the word of God, does he not? He's what he does. Thus saith the Lord, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with the company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land, and I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beast of the whole earth with thee. In other words, God said, I'm going to let them feast off you. They're going to fill their bellies. They're going to be so full of you. What? Because of what he did. What he did was he fouled and muddied the waters. He muddied up the word of God. We know that in heaven there's a river that's coming out of the throne of God that is clear as crystal. And it's water that's absolutely so pure and so clean and so holy. It's the river of life coming out of the throne of God. What a sight that's going to be. Amen. We have that right here in our Bibles. We have the pure river of life from the word of God in this book. Somebody say amen. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, he said, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. In other words, God uses water to feed everything on this earth, and he'll feed us with it. Psalm 72:6, he shall come down. He, He, Christ Jesus, shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. And who is He, Christ? He is the Word of God. I feel like there's 100 people in here. I feel like preaching to you tonight. Isaiah 12, verse 3, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. I'm telling you, when you are saved and you are right with God, it is not a burden to you to pull your Bible out and read it. It is not, I'm telling you, I asked God for this because I was so caught up with all the news going on the internet, all the stuff about Trump and all the stuff about this is going to take place and this is going to happen and there's going to be a revolution and all this stuff. And I caught up in everything that was going on in the world. Wasn't reading my Bible like I was supposed to be. And I caught myself. I knew it. I said, God, and like I said, you will not seek out this Bible until your water is well spent. And I asked God, God, get this out of me. Get this out of me. I want it gone. I want to be back in my Bible. God will do it. God will do it. So, and I preached this Sunday about sacrifice. Sacrifice, take your time and spend it with the Word of God. And I said during the sermon Sunday morning, now, if you call here in the morning sometimes, I may not be available because I'm telling you, I'm taking my time in the morning to study the Word of God. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Lo and behold, I come in here Monday and Tuesday was a mess. I was involved in everything Monday and Tuesday morning. It was just one thing after another. And I finally said, God, make it stop so I can read the Bible. This morning wasn't too bad. I'll be honest with you. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, he said. Isaiah 35, 7. The parched ground shall become a pool. And the thirsty land springs of water. Listen, you want to run the dragons off? Get where there's some water. Because that's one thing I noticed when I studied dragons in the Bible. That first study I did on dragons, I noticed that they live in areas where there's no water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Now, let me just pop this on you. Those reeds he's talking about is where we get papyrus. The papyrus, those big reeds, were the things that they split and wove together to make paper, which is what they wrote the Word of God on. Now, think about what he said. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. Where the dragons were laying, the dragons aren't laying there anymore. There's grass growing there with reeds and rushes. Papyrus is growing there where they can write the Bible with. Amos 8:11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. This is your living water. Deny yourself this living water is to seal your own death and your own doom spiritually. Turn to it. It will enrich your life. God will fill you. God will bloat you. You know how some days you just are bloated. You're retaining water. So hang on to it. You'll need it later. Okay? Ephesians 5. This is where husbands, he gives the instructions to the husband. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's what a husband is to be. He's to love his wife. He's to give himself for his wife. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see, this is why we don't believe that water baptism saves a soul. It cannot. The water cannot reach the soul. The water can only touch the flesh, and that's it. And that's what Peter said when he was explaining this with the days of Noah. And he said, that's baptism doth now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the putting away of a defiled conscience. And only the Word of God, the pure Word of God, can clear your conscience of the guilt of the things that you know that you have done wrong. Amen. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil, here it is, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The living well of water that is the Word of God. 1 Peter, now I've got ahead of myself. 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient. And he's talking about the spirits. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure, wherein to even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is that well of water. How is it we're saved? Turn back to John. We just studied this when we started our study on John 8 years ago. In John chapter 3, when he was telling Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him in verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, you could say, well, he's born of water. That's his first birth because the woman's water breaks forth. But I believe it also could be said that a man cannot be saved without the Word of God. The water given to us by the three. Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Amen. Well, that's all I have on that tonight. Next Wednesday night, I will address this issue of this woman's condition. And I don't speak on it much, on the issue of divorce and remarriage. But there are some, I will say, if you look here, Jesus said, thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thine husband. She's living with a man, and they're not in the bonds of marriage. I've had preachers say that if you divorce and remarry, you are in a constant state of adultery and there's no salvation for you, there's nothing for you. I do not believe that. I do not believe the Scriptures teach that. Jesus did not say to her, you still have your first husband that you still should be married to. He's told her, you've had five husbands already. Okay? Now remember what I said about a guy who's had five wives. He's not picked five bad women. Five women picked the wrong guy. Okay? It's a problem with this guy. And it's the same way with her. She's not satisfied. Never, and probably never will be. But now she's different. Okay? And we don't have anything else about her in Scripture, so I can't wait to get to heaven to talk to her. How did it turn out? Did you marry that guy? Or did you just say, get out of my house? Or what? I don't know. But anyway, I will deal with this issue of divorce and remarriage. I won't get too much into it. But I'm one that believes that God makes all things new. All things new. And I certainly don't believe that a divorced person, if they are remarried, live in a constant state of adultery. I do not believe that because the Bible does not say that.